beautiful Saturday morning. Text question real quick before we get back to the phones. What can be done for a tomato plant that gets curly top disease other than pulling it out? I think that's... And we're getting to the time of year where your tomato plant is now your compost base.
Yeah.
It's tough. You know, it's at that, like you say, it's at that time when a lot of times the leaves curl up just because of the heat, too, and the sun is just so strong. A lot of, people will use shade screening and things like that helps out a lot.
You can't seem to water them enough.
Get them through a little bit longer. But sometimes if there are viruses that come in, the best bet really is to start fresh with a new plant in the fall for your next crop or something like that. So it's just tough to control something like that.
One funny thing Jay always says is, it's a new one's like less than $2.
That's right.
We have such an emotional connection to our garden plants.
Keep those plants going.
A new one's only $2.
So many people are proud to get them through the summer, and I applaud that too, but sometimes it's just easier to get a new plant. Yeah.
Let's bring Dave into the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. How can we help you, Dave?
This is me, Romy?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good deal. The guy with the blood orange, that's, I'm pretty sure that's a Taroko blood orange, and they're from the Mediterranean, and so they're used to a lot more humidity. And I had the same problem with mine. I called John out of Greenfield.
Oh, good.
And so what I did is at the time that the blooms usually set, I was out there just kind of hosing the area for about 30 feet around in the wall with the cat's claw to create some humidity, and I did that for maybe 10 days, and I had a good fruit set last year.
Hmm.
This year I didn't get to it, and I think the weather was even worse than usual, and I don't have a single fruit either. So,
interesting.
But there's a lot of different cultivars of blood, so it depends on which one you have.
Great.
What I called about was the I've got a gardening service, and we use the ET ratio for watering our lawns. It's on one of the AMWAS sites. And I wondered if there was something similar to that for plants that's really science-based instead of general history-based, where, they're talking about the ET, or I'm assuming they have something like that for plants.
Sure. Yeah, they have some like that for plants. I think you have that on the same site, don't you, Donna?
And it's what you're talking about, and it's in the newspaper. You'll see it on the weather page still. And the again, from the Arizona Meteorological Service, again, that's a University of Arizona site. They will track rain gauges and the weather conditions throughout different weather stations throughout the valley here. So it will say, if you last watered 3 days ago, add this much moisture back to your lawn. So it gives you kind of the exact amount. It's pretty scientific, and a lot of golf courses use that, and people like you, professionals who understand what it means. It's a little more challenging for, it takes a little more time for homeowners. So that's why we did the watering by the numbers. That gives them a little, it kind of generalizes a lot of that and still gives them the recommendation. So you can definitely use ET, though, for your plants as well. It's just a matter of understanding that you need to be adding, going longer periods of time. We're not saying how much to add. You could take that, how much to water every 3 days and multiply that, let it go a week or two and add it all together, and you'd kind of have an idea of how much should be added. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, we're doing something like that. I just thought there might be one that was more specific to plants. So that answers that. And I'll tell you one other thing is I know I've got a ton of stories, but I'm sure you guys have a ton of stories, and I would love to hear some of your stories of the funny things that homeowners ask you about.
Oh, yeah. And, that would be a great episode right there, a good segment.
It would be. It is. It's like that. Those things you see online that says "stupid humans." It's really funny. One other thing, if I get just one another 15 seconds or so, these new, no, they're not new anymore, but the MP rotators, the nozzles that use low water.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think most homeowners don't get the memo that those things put out water so slowly. It takes an hour and 45 or an hour and 50 minutes to put out the same amount of water that the pop-ups do. And I come to these people's houses where they call me about their turf, and they're watering for 20 minutes like they did with their others. It's like, no, you got to be watering a long time with these heads, and they just can't believe it. So,
excellent
point.
That
when to pass that on. So thanks for being on. I've seen you guys for at least 20, maybe 25 years at all the trade shows. So
yeah.
I was in
right. Yeah, thanks for calling in. Great talking to you.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right about that part about you have to do the catch can test and see what your system's putting out and time your irrigation for that. And you're absolutely right. An hour to hour and a half, hour 45 is what's required with those MP rotators.
And we have a hard time just getting people to still do the pop-ups for at least 20 minutes, which is what we're recommending to get, again, about 3/4 of an inch on that grass each time you water, and then water at the most once every 3 days in the summertime. That's in the Watering by the Numbers book. But like you say, those others, what's great about those other nozzles is if you have slopes or things like that, it keeps the water from running off. It really gives it a chance to soak in. But those hour and hour and a half run times, I think, are, a little unrealistic for most homeowners. I just think that if you don't need it, if you don't have slopes, then I would probably stick with pop-ups. I think they're simpler, and most controllers can handle that runtime if they don't have more sophisticated controllers.
And on the flip side of all of this, you know, if a little's good, a lot's better, is doesn't always apply. No. Yellowing doesn't mean a lack of water. That could be a sign that you're overwatering.
Absolutely. So. And that's what people, I think that's one of the real common mistakes that people make is they're watering too much. And we kind of use our own senses of, oh, it's hot, it's miserable, my plants must need a lot of water, and which can be true. One of the things I tell people, though, you were saying earlier that June, and we're in kind of the hottest part of the month, and this or the hottest part of the year. And even though today is so different because we have humidity, but typically June is that hottest, driest month with the lowest humidity, which means the water demands of plants is the very highest. By, you know, after what happens June 21st, we have the solstice. Our day length starts to shorten after June 21st. So July and all that, we have humidity, we have lower, shorter days, water use requirements get lower. So
Donna, Steve, thanks for joining us this Saturday morning. And wateruseitwisely.org, if you've got questions.
.com.
.com. Oh, it's
yes.
a com now.
It's a com. It's been a com. Yep, yep.
Waterusewisely.com.